In the next few moments on the Manifest Telecast, I'm going to be giving you the laws that govern the return of the Lord. Many times when people are arguing about, let's say, the rapture of the church or the coming of the Lord, they fail to point out the laws and rules of prophecy that I'm going to be sharing with you in the next few moments. Several years ago, I was studying for a major prophetic summit. Most of you know we have the largest prophetic summit in America every year in the month of April. And I saw something that I had never seen before. Now, this gentleman will watch. He happens to be on my board of directors. But this gentleman who's been with me from the beginning of my ministry, he's always teasing me, telling me how he's pre-trib. He believes that the Lord comes in the middle. And I shared this with him, and he said to me, "That's the first thing you've ever said that literally could convince me that you're right on a pre-tribulation coming." So I want to start by talking about, and I've written this down, the law of the nature of divine order. How many of you know the sun comes up in the morning and not at night? The moon comes out at night, the sun comes up in the morning. I could go through winter, spring, summer, and fall. You cannot have all summer, you cannot have all winter, you would never be able to plant. The four seasons of the year go in a complete cycle. They are divine order. You do not stay up for 100 hours, you couldn't take it. You have to sleep at night and work in the day. Divine order. Of course, some of you work night shift and sleep in the day, so you're still in divine order. Now, here's what I want to share with you. The seven festivals of Israel are in an order. You come to the spring and you do Passover. Then the next day is always unleavened bread. Then the next day is always first fruits. And then you count from the Sabbath after Passover, and you go on to the 50th day, and you're going to come to the festival of Pentecost. From Pentecost, you have a couple months till you come to the next celebration, which is trumpets, called Rosh Hashanah. It is always, always, never changes, 7th month, first day of the month. It is always 10 days later that you come to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It is always 5 days later that you come to a 7-day celebration, which is very popular here in Israel with tourists, which is called the Festival of Tabernacles. Now, listen to what I'm about to say to you. Passover is the crucifixion of Jesus. Unleavened bread, Jesus is in the tomb, buried and wrapped up. On first fruits, he is seen alive as the first fruits of the resurrection. Pentecost, Acts 2, 1 through 4, is the birth of the church. And what is coming next has to come in order. Now watch this. If you say, now we're in the church age, where are we at right now? We're still at Pentecost. How do I know? Because God said, "I will pour out my spirit in the last days upon all flesh." So we are in the season and have been since the resurrection of Jesus of what is called the church age, also known by Paul as the dispensation of the grace of God, meaning that we are the church, the body of Christ, is dispensing the message of the grace of God throughout the earth to see people come into the kingdom of God and repent and turn from their wicked ways and follow the Lord. So if you look at Passover, Passover was the time of redemption. You look at Pentecost, it's the birth of the church. So what we are preaching on earth is redemption by the blood of the Lamb, and then we are preaching the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is Pentecost. And this is the message of the church. Repent, be baptized, be filled. Repent, be baptized, be filled with the Spirit, and then follow the Lord and serve Him. Now watch carefully. This is important you get this. It is impossible, and I'm going to use the word again, it is impossible to remove the divine order of God. The next event has to be trumpets. And then the next event after that has to be atonement. And the next event after that has to be tabernacles. And those three, atonement has had partial fulfillments, but it hasn't had the complete fulfillment prophetically it's going to have. Here's what I'm saying. You have to have trumpets in the next order. When you go into the Old Testament and you begin to study the seven festivals, there's an entire chapter on the Day of Atonement and the forgiveness of sins. There are chapters on the Jubilee in Leviticus chapter 25, but did you know that when it comes to trumpets, there's only two verses in the whole Bible on it? And it is a mystery. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we would change in the moment of the twinkling of an eye at the sound of the last trump." It is a mystery because it makes no sense. Why do you put the blowing of trumpets and then Moses doesn't even tell you why you blow them? Are you checking with me? I mean, he doesn't say, now you're going to have a festival of trumpets, and this trumpet is about this, and this is about that. It's two verses. And you rest on that day, and you have a holy convocation on that day, and you blow trumpets. And on the time of what's called Rosh Hashanah, festival of trumpets, which is the Jewish New Year, by the way, and the secular New Year, when you do that, there are 100 shofar blasts that you have on that day. And what is interesting is on that day, there's three that they use, and I'm not going to break all three of these down because I've got four more points I'm trying to bring in. I'm still stuck on point one, okay? So the point is that there is a Tekiah HaGodolah, which is the same trumpet that Moses heard when it was loud and long in Exodus 19, and the Lord said that Moses came up, the Lord came down and Moses went up. That's that same trumpet. Now, my point is, if you say that we go into the tribulation as the church, you have taken atonement because you have coming of the Lord rapture. You have the day of atonement, which is tribulation, because atonement is judgment for sin. Hello. And then you have tabernacles, which is the kingdom where Jesus comes back and rules for 1,000 years. So you can't pull tabernacles as the next feast. We're at Pentecost. We're at the church age. We're at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're preaching the gospel and seeing people filled with the Spirit around the world. That's where we're at. But from Pentecost is 4 months, and then you come to trumpets. We're not at trumpets yet. The trumpet hasn't sounded yet. The shofars haven't sounded yet. And by the way, we are not in the seals of the book of Revelation. Honey, if we're in the seals of the book of Revelation, this ain't half as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, this ain't nothing, man. We're having a blast in the breaking of these seals. I mean, you know, so people give their opinions, they give their ideas, but a theory is not necessarily Bible truth. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's an opinion. Now, you have to have the blowing of trumpets next. This is the order of the festivals. Then you will come to the tribulation after that. And then at the end of the tribulation, you come to the millennial reign of Christ. So my point is, under the law of the divine order, the next festival after the church age, after the church age concludes, has to be the blowing of the trumpets. Now, I can show you this also in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus appears as the high priest getting ready to address the seven churches through John. Now, there are seven churches that existed in John's day that he was a part of helping to originate, and that's why they were very special to him. So in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you have a message to these seven different churches. And you know who they are. You got Ephesus and Smyrna and Thyatira and Laodicea. Seven churches. Now, at the end of his last address to the last church, which is the seventh church, then the book of Revelation changes its whole imagery into chapter 4, verse 1. And John says, suddenly he heard a voice like a trumpet saying, come up here. And then he left the earth in the spirit. The Isle of Patmos is where he's writing. And suddenly he is in the throne room of heaven where the Lamb of God is. Now, there's your imagery of chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation representing seven different church ages. And the scholars have taught this for centuries. Seven different church ages. And then when you get to the last one, which is Laodicea, and they weren't so hot. You understand what I'm saying? Not so hot. They were lukewarm. How many of you know that's the condition of the church? It's just lukewarm, not on fire, you know, just go to church when I want to. The average American now goes to church 2 times a month, folks. Did you know that? 2 times a month. And then they have 3 churches they choose from. So there you go. We call it Piccadilly Christianity. You go in the cafeteria, you pick what you want, you pick what you don't want. Piccadilly Christianity, okay? Now, so there is a divine order that God will keep. Now, the law number 2 that I've got written down here is the law of revealing the nature of the tribulation. You have to understand the purpose of the great tribulation, and then you will understand why certain people who are righteous and born again are exempt from the day of wrath. So let's look at this. In Isaiah chapter 13, it gives you the reasons for that real negative day of the Lord or the tribulation. It says, to destroy sinners off the earth. Isaiah 13, 11, to punish the world for evil. Isaiah 13, verse 11, to cause the arrogance and pride to cease in men. Revelation 22, to bring an end to Satan. All of this is about the judgments of God coming to the earth. Now, in the book of Revelation, there is the wrath of the Lamb, And you see that at the first 42 months, and at the end of the, or I'm sorry, at the latter half of the 7-year tribulation, you see the phrase, the wrath of God. So one talks about the Lamb's wrath, and the second half talks about God's wrath. Now let's look at the word wrath, and I want you to listen to these verses very carefully. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. God takes vengeance on his adversaries and reserves his wrath for his enemies. Reserves, stores up his wrath. And this is in Romans 1. He storeth wrath. He stores it up to the day of wrath. Okay? Now, Romans 1:18. This is the verse. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Says nothing there about the church. Says nothing there about believers. Ungodliness. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. This is one of my favorites. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through his Son. The implication is, watch, if you obtain salvation through his Son, you escape the wrath to come. Yeah. And he talks about that. Now look at this one, Luke 21:36. Pray that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. Now let me just ask you this. If it's not possible to pray to escape, why does he tell us to pray to escape? And then what are we escaping? And go to the context of what he's telling you in Luke, and he'll tell you what you're going to be escaping. Oh, that's good preaching. Woo, I felt something. Somebody's patting me on the back right now saying, preach on, preach on, preach on, preach on. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Look at this. If you keep the word of my patience, I will keep you, that means preserve you, from the hour of testing that is coming upon the earth. Now, here's the bottom line of number 2, the law, the second law that I want to give you, the law of revealing the nature of the tribulation. The wrath of God is not for the righteous. Here's why. Because the righteous have done nothing to produce wrath. Now, you'll get that. Now, you need to think about that. Because the righteous have done nothing to produce wrath. If you're righteous and in right standing with God, you have done nothing to produce wrath. Therefore, how can you be under the wrath of God when you've done nothing to produce wrath? You're talking fast. I know. I got to get all this in. The wrath is for the lawless. This is in the Bible, the ungodly and the unrighteous. So rule number 2 is that if you are going to serve the Lord, God Almighty, and righteously follow him in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you are not under the wrath, because the wrath is reserved for the ungodly and the enemies, which brings me again to why I lean toward a tribulation that begins after the coming of the Lord for the righteous, because he's going to pour out his wrath on the ungodly on the earth. And let me just say something about the church, because a lot of people believe that the church is going through half or all the tribulation. And I don't argue with people about this. People send me manuscripts and books, and I don't argue with them about this because I know what I believe. And the thing that you've got to understand is when you go into the book of Revelation, you have 144,000 Jewish men from this nation sealed with the seal of God that the Antichrist can't even touch them. All right? Read it in your Bible. He can't touch those 144,000 Jewish men. So if you have in Daniel chapter 11, Edom and Moab and Ammon, that's the country of Jordan located right over in this direction, they escape from the hands of the Antichrist. It's in your Bible. They escape him. Do you know why they escape him? Because Petra's located there. And there's a Jewish remnant that has to flee to the wilderness according to 4 prophets of the Old Testament or 4 verses of the Old Testament that in the tribulation they're preserved there. Now, if God lets the Jordanian government escape and God lets 144,000 escape, and then the preachers are telling us we're going to have our heads chopped off going through the tribulation. How do you figure that? How do you figure he lets this country over here escape the tribulation because of what he has planned for them, and he lets 140,000 Jewish men escape through a seal of God that's in their forehead, but then we're being told, yeah, you're not that lucky. You know, you're not that lucky. You know, God wants to chop your head off and have it roll and kill you. And I had a guy tell me, he said, the church is not where it should be, so we're going to have to be beheaded to shed our blood to be righteous. Brother, your blood can't do nothing. Your blood has no righteousness in it. I am preserved and saved because of the blood of the Lamb. Only the blood of the Lamb. Nothing I do, my beheading, my death, whatever, does not save me anymore. Okay? Than me just going into a church and sitting in a pew. Right, right. It's the blood of Jesus that saves and redeems man. So don't let people, you know, pull you away from the sound doctrine of the word when it comes to how your salvation comes. All right. Number 3, Let me go to number four. I'm going to have to skip number three. I'll never get these in. Number four, so I skipped three. Please don't write me and say what was number three. My secretaries do not know anything about what I'm preaching. So please, just we'll preach it at a prophecy summit sometime, okay? Just please don't write and say, what was number three? Because you'll drive them nuts. Okay. Number four is the law of prevailing. There's a law of prevailing that goes like this. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The word prevail in Greek means to overpower. God gave the body of Christ and the church on earth authority over Satan's power, Satan's oppressive power, the fear of the enemy, and Jesus has the keys of death and hell. Now, he said to us as believers, because you follow me and because you serve me, I'm going to give you that same power and same authority. And he says, I give you authority, that's the Greek word there, over all of the authority of the enemy. So there is an authority given to the believer, which is a prevailing power. And if hell cannot prevail against the body of Christ or the ecclesia or the church, and we are part of the body in the ecclesia of the church, that means he can't prevail against us. Okay? So if we say God is going to let the enemy come in and prevail against the church, and someone says, well, you know, over there in the book of Daniel, it says he wears out the saints of the Most High God. Well, that word saints is kodeshim, which means the holy ones. And if you'll go to the context of the context of the verse will tell you that Daniel is told that the prophecy you're about to get from the angel is for you, your people, and the city of Jerusalem.
That's right.
The angel tells him, it's not about the Gentiles. It's not about the Gentile believers. This is about Jerusalem and Israel. And the prevailing against the Kodeshim is when the Antichrist comes here and attempts to make one final attempt to destroy the Hebrew nation or the Jewish people. And I got news for him. It's already been written. You lose. So try it. Sorry. You lose. Okay. All right. Now, number five, and I'm going to probably have to close on this one. Can you believe I had seven points to this outline. And so I'll have to preach this some other time. And again, please don't write and say, what are they? Because my secretaries won't know I have the outline. Okay. Now watch this. Number five is the law of escaping. Now I want you to think about what I'm going to tell you. Noah built an ark to escape the flood. Lot, I love this verse in Genesis 19. We were talking about this coming over on the plane. The angel said to Lot that morning that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The angel said to Lot, make haste and get out of the city, for we can do nothing till you're gone out of the city. So the angel said, judgment's coming, but we can't destroy this place till the righteous man is in the city of Zoar, where the Lord let him go. So there's this particular law that I call the law of escaping. Jeremiah predicted right here in this city that the Babylonian captivity would come. And yet when the Babylonian captivity come 40 years later, Jeremiah was permitted to live in the land and not even go into Babylonian captivity because the Babylonians said, this is the guy that predicted we were coming. Right here he is. And they gave him the honor of staying in the land. And you know the story how he buried the title deed in the ground as a sign that one day you're going to come right back here and prove that the land belongs to you. So, boy, I feel the anointing, man. I'm about to sense something here. Now, I'm going to give you one more verse on the law of escaping. Ezekiel 14. God said, if I send famine or wild beasts to spoil the land, a sword and pestilence, my four judgments, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they shall deliver but their own soul by their righteousness, says the Lord. They shall not deliver their sons and daughters. They shall only be delivered, Ezekiel 14:14-20. Now, Job 1, listen to what it says about Job. He was perfect and an upright, a man of God who shunned evil. Listen to what it says about Noah. This is Genesis 6:9. Noah was perfect and just and walked with God. Daniel 1:14. Daniel had no blemish, was favored and well skilled. Now, what do they all have in common? Righteousness. What do they all have in common? Being totally obedient to the Lord. So in other words, the Ezekiel, and he actually says this several times, he uses these three men and he says, if I send the judgments, and if you look, it's the four judgments and it's the same judgments in the tribulation. You got the sword, that's in the tribulation. You got famine, that's in the tribulation. So you look at those four judgments in Ezekiel 14 and he says, if Noah and Job, and here's the three men again, Noah, Daniel, and Job are in it, I will deliver them because of their righteousness. They can't deliver their sons and daughters. Now, this is important. You've got to serve God for yourself.
Yeah.
You can't hang on to mom and dad's coattail. T.L. Lowry, my mentor, I heard him preach when I was 11 years of age. He had that dark hair and that black suit, and he was at a camp meeting. And he said, some of you out there right now, some of you young people, some of you preachers, kids, I was a preacher's son. He said, if the Lord would come tonight, he had that microphone, if the Lord would come tonight, you would try to grab hold of your daddy's coattail and hang on to that suit, but your hands would slip back to the earth. I'm back there going... I think it's the first altar call I ever got in. I can just see my hands slipping, you know. But I want to say this to you, that in the laws of the return of the Lord, there are types and shadows of the Old Testament that reveal the pattern of His return. There are the festivals and the divine order that reveal the patterns of His return. There are scriptures that deal with the fact that the wrath of God has absolutely nothing to do to be presented to righteous people. But in Ezekiel 9, I'll conclude with this, the angel went through Jerusalem. In fact, there were angels and they had ink horn to the side of them and like a quill. And God said, I want you to mark the foreheads of those who cry out against the iniquity of Jerusalem because I'm going to spare them. Yeah. And so the angel separated the righteous in Jerusalem from the unrighteous by a seal. Revelation tells us 144,000 Jewish men are sealed with the seal of God and are protected from the tribulation, which is an exact picture of before the Babylonian captivity in the book of Ezekiel. Now, the Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and that's what I want to get to. So when you are saved and you're actively flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the Word, there is a certain level of protection that God has given you and a guarantee to deliver you from the wrath to come because He did not appoint you to wrath. Now, just so you'll know, as we're wrapping this up, I'm in the city of Jerusalem. It is a beautiful day. And this is the Mount of Olives behind me, the Dead Sea over in this direction over here. You've got the Kidron Valley. All of this here is what we call the Holy City. And I can tell you real quick, when I first came here, a lot of these buildings were not here in 1984. And you just stood here and you saw the old city. And now Jerusalem, it says that the Bible says it will be built up. When the Lord builds up Jerusalem, He will appear in glory. And Grant Jeffrey pointed it out years ago. This city has expanded in 7 different directions. And now you wait till we go to Bethlehem in a minute. You're going to see apartment high rises in Bethlehem. Whoever dreamt it? Jesus is going to come back and get to live in a penthouse suite. What about that? In Bethlehem. My time's up. I have a brand new offer. All this year in 2020, we're going to have new offers for you. So God bless you. I heard this many times on Saturday afternoon. I have never missed a main event in many years, and this week's services were the greatest revelation of God's Word yet. Personally, the morning services released the most profound right now practical series of revelations that I've actually ever heard in my 46 years of ministry. The 5 messages that I preached were all new insights, some I had never seen until recently, that were birthed in the secret place of prayer. I felt impressed to emphasize lessons on defeating the strange attacks of the enemy, and I included a significant prophetic update, also teaching on the meaning of the year 5783 and teaching the authority of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Here's the title of my 5 messages: The 5 Prophetic Omens Coming in 2023, The Prophetic Decree of the Watchers, The Satanic Ambush in the Spirit-Filled Edge, Recovering When Satan Chastises Your Peace, How to Issue a Restraining Order on the Enemy. Tony Scott taught a word that opened up a new spiritual level, and the title of the message was Living in the Highest Kingdom Life. Ron Carpenter brought the people to their feet with a powerful word, the legal side of prayer. Tommy Bates built our faith and just literally brought in the glory of the Lord with It's Time to Release the Supernatural. This main event series is a solid investment in your spiritual growth, explaining battle-proven tactics, and also increases your knowledge and provides faith-building truths that unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God in the time of the end. There are 4 ways in which to order. Call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD or call our Voice of Evangelism offices at 423-478-3456. Or you can order online at perrystone.org requesting the 2022 main event CDs or the DVDs. You can also mail in your order to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Now always remember to request either 22ME CD for the CDs or 22ME DVD for the 8 DVDs.
Some DVD messages also have various pictures and scriptures to enhance the meaning of the message so that you can see and hear the word of the Lord. Now, the 8 CDs are $55. The 8 DVDs are $95, and we will pay the postage. If this year has been difficult and you've been hit from different directions, I can assure you these messages will give you weapons for warfare, tools for living, encouragement in your spirit, and help build your faith. And they will help you to break the strongholds and oppression of the adversary. The prophetic update is also very powerful. Please order yours today and help keep Manifest on the air.
All right, we're coming toward the conclusion of our offer, and we're getting ready to do a brand new series that's going to be coming out, and we want you to look forward to what we're going to present to you and our resources when that comes out. The 1st of February, the Lord willing, and I'm saying the Lord willing because there's been a shortage of paper and some other things that we've had to deal with to prepare the secret project that we've been talking about, but it's about to come out. It's about to be released, and I want everybody watching to consider participating. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Someone says, why don't you just come out and say it? Because there's some reasons I can't at this point. We also want to invite you to join us in the month of January at Abba's House in Chattanooga, Tennessee, if you're not sure familiar with that. And we're going to have a very special service on Thursday at 6:30 on January the 19th. I'll be coming to the church on Strayer, Pastor Tony Scott in Maumee, Ohio. And I love you folks up there. You really come out well to all of our meetings. And this is going to be a great weekend together on a Saturday and Sunday, January the 21st and also the 22nd. And then we'll be going to off the mainland to the Big Island or the islands of Hawaii in the month of February, 5, 6, 7th, and 8th, Pastor Josh Morocco's church. Then February 19th, 22nd on Maui, which is King's Cathedral, which is Pastor James Morocco's church. And if you live on these islands and you watch the telecast or you follow us on social media, how about making plans to join us as much as possible in person? Because there's an anointing. If you've never been in our services, it's not like watching a YouTube channel or watching a Manifest telecast. There is an anointing of the Holy Spirit that manifests in the services where people's lives are changed, their hearts are touched. Many times we see great spiritual results at the end of an altar service. So that's why we ask people to come and join us, because it's very different watching it than just being there. So please mark your calendar for those events. The April Prophetic Summit is already down to go. We hope you'll register for that. And also, so many things that we want you to keep up with through our ministry, through the Voice of Evangelism magazine, the perrystone.org, which is our website, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page, and also the Perry Stone YouTube channel. We're doing everything we can to reach as many people as we can. I also want to say to our partners of our ministry, we have wonderful partners around the world, especially here in the United States. You help us to do so many things that you don't even know about, including helping us to stay on in stations and continue to walk through open doors outside the United States to reach entire nations with the message of the gospel. And we pray God will bless you and reward you for standing with us. And you can contact our office for partnership information as well. God bless you. See you next week.